Morning. So many smiling faces this morning. We've got several of our members out of town visiting for the holidays, as well as many of you here that are visiting us. We bid you welcome, and there is a book in the lobby there if you wouldn't mind signing it on your way out. So we have a record of your attendance, and there are some who like to send cards. And thank you. I'd like to begin by thanking the elders and for allowing me the opportunity to speak this morning. I know I was supposed to speak on the 15th, but I've had a rough month. So I thank Brian for standing in. He had a two-part lesson, so that worked out fine. But so this morning, I'll be looking at the book of Ezekiel, chapter 14, this morning. And have you ever thought you had connections, or that you had you were going to get special treatment because you had a friend of a friend who, or a relative working in some place where you might get head of line privileges or something like that? When I was in the Navy, we had E1 through E6 wore blue shirts, so you were considered a blue shirt. You had a crow and maybe chevrons or slick sleeves, as we called the E3 and below. You had something on there to tell who you were. And then the E7 and above not only had anchor collar devices, but a different uniform. We wore khakis. So when I was at PSD as a first class, that's the crow with the three chevrons, you think you got a little bit of a pull there. I went in there to our personnel support detachment, and I was trying to get some information or copies of my record that I was going to submit to the board, the chief's board, as a package to be considered. And I went in, and there was nobody at the counter, so I went right up to the counter, and I was ignored for about 10 minutes. Okay, so you figure, how were they so busy that they couldn't see me standing at the counter? So I did get selected for chief that year, and about 3 months later, I was in khakis. I walked up, and the counter was pretty busy, but as soon as I walked in, I had everybody's attention. By my uniform, I had influence. I had influence at the chow hall. I could get head of the line privileges, go right up and eat. We called that RHIP, rank has its privileges. But it didn't always work. You go to medical, and it didn't matter who you were going to wait in line. So one day I was a master chief, and you know, if you looked at Navy uniforms, we got our collar devices, we got anchors on each side with two stars and ribbons, and carried my hat down here. It had a big anchor and two stars, so everybody knew I was a master chief. And then I wore a big badge on my chest that said Command Master Chief. So I was sitting in the lobby one day, and a commander came out. Now, said that would be a light colonel or a lieutenant colonel. He came out, he looked at me, looked around the lobby, and he went back in. And pretty soon he came back out, and he said, Master Chief, get back here. I don't want anybody seeing you in the lobby thinking that we ignore our Master Chiefs. I finally felt like I had some influence. Well, there are, in the Old Testament, some men of God that had influence on God, that he would use them. Over in Jeremiah, the 15th chapter, and in verse 1, let me get my notes here. We see that Jeremiah uses two of them. It says, the Lord said to me, even if Moses and Samuel stood before me, my mind would not be favorable toward this people. Cast them out of my sight and let them go forth. Moses was a prophet. He was a lawgiver. And there's a lot in the Old Testament we can read of Moses. He's even mentioned in the New Testament. And Samuel, who was the last judge of Israel, had a great influence on the people. And so these men were mentioned. And over in Ezekiel 14 chapter, where we're going to be looking this morning, And I've entitled this, Why Did God Call Noah, Daniel, and Job Righteous? In the, and I forgot the other little, and hopefully I'll get this right. Oh, you have to plug in the, now we're back in business. Over in Ezekiel 14, verse 12 through 21, it says, Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, if a country sins against me by committing unfaithfulness, and I will stretch out my hand against it, destroy its supply of bread, send famine against it, and cut off from it both man and beast. Even though these three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, were in its midst, by their own righteousness, they could only deliver themselves, declares the Lord. And if I were to cause wild beasts to pass through the land, and they depopulated it, and it became desolate so that no one would pass through it because of the beasts, though these three men were in its midst, as I live, declares the Lord God, they could not deliver either their sons or their daughters. They alone would be delivered, but the country would be desolate. Or if I should bring a sword on the country and say, let the sword pass through the country and cut off man beast from it, even though these three men were in the midst, as I live, declares the Lord God, they could not deliver either their sons or their daughters, but they alone would be delivered. Or if I should send a plague against that country and pour out my wrath in blood on it and cut off man and beast from it, even though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in its midst, as I live, declares the Lord God, they could not deliver either their son or their daughter. They would only deliver themselves by their righteousness. For thus says the Lord God, how much more when I send my four severe judgments against Jerusalem's sword, famine, wild beasts, and plague to cut off man and beast from it. Yet behold, survivors will be left in it who will be brought out, both sons and daughters. Behold, they are going to come forth to you, and you will see their conduct and actions. And they will be comforted for the calamity which I have brought against Jerusalem, for everything which I have brought upon it. Here in Ezekiel, the three men, Noah, Daniel, and Job, are mentioned as they're being righteous. And even though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, they would deliver themselves by their own righteousness, says the Lord God. And so we're going to consider this morning why high honor is placed on Noah, Daniel, and Job. Now, this Daniel that is mentioned here, there's a little bit of discussion in that some scholars don't think that's the Daniel in the book of Daniel, but it's another Daniel who was a Canaanite. Because of the spelling, there's a different spelling in Ezekiel of Daniel than there is in the book of Daniel. I guess they've wrestled with that a long time, but they've finally decided that, most of them anyway, decided that Daniel was the Daniel in the book of Daniel. Because he was a contemporary of Ezekiel, but because of his reputation in Babylon, Ezekiel may have mentioned him in this as one of these three. And why would God call Noah, Daniel, and Job righteous? Well, they were all faithful. Noah, in Genesis 6, 5 through 9, God was condemning the world because of the sin, and he was about to destroy it all, but because Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, God saved him. He was faithful and steadfast in God. Daniel, over in 1, 8 through 21, he was one of the captives and brought to Babylon, and when he was presented to Nebuchadnezzar, he was given a special diet, and he refused, And there was a time of 10 days, I believe, that they were allowed to eat their diet. This was Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. And during this time, God gave Daniel the knowledge, skill in all literature and wisdom, and all understanding in visions and dreams. So because of Daniel's faith, God had bestowed this upon him. And Job, in the first chapter, verses 1 through 8, we find that Job was a righteous man, and that there were none like him on earth, blameless, upright, and he feared God. And this is the picture that we get when Satan comes before God, and God asks him, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And this was God's description of Job, that there was none like him on earth. He was blameless, upright, and he feared God. They were all obedient. Noah, in verse 22 of Genesis 6, there he did all that God commanded him. God told him to build the ark, and he did that according to God's specifications. He completed it and did all that God had asked him to do. Daniel in chapter 6, verses 10 through 11. You remember in Daniel 6, Darius the king was tricked into making a decree that no one would pray to God for 30 days to any god. But Daniel, keeping his promise to God and his daily substance, he prayed to God three times a day and gave thanks to God for the things that he had. And even though they spied on him, Daniel was obedient to God and kept his prayers. Job, verse 1, 20 through 22, we know that Satan had taken everything from Daniel, or from Job. Took his sons, his daughters, took his servants, took his beasts, his sheep, his donkeys, took all of that from him, his camels. But in all that that happened to him, he didn't sin or blame God. In fact, he gave praise to God for his life. Another reason they were considered righteous was because they were minorities. In all the world, in Matthew 7, 13 through 24, we read that broad is the gate and narrow is the way that leads to righteousness. And so, or it leads to destruction, and narrow is the gate and broad is the way. I'm getting that backwards, I believe. So we'll read that. Matthew chapter 7, 13 and 14. The other Matthew 7. It says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. There are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life. And there are few who find it." Also in Matthew 20, verse 16, again he talks about the few that... Matthew 20, verse 16, he says, "So the last shall be first, and the first shall be last." And then in 22, 14, he says there that, "For many are called, but few are chosen." So not everyone that calls on the Lord is going to be saved. Noah, in 1 Peter 3, 20, he reminds us that Peter reminds us that Noah and only Noah and his family were saved by water after the flood. They were all called to repentance. There was about 120 years there that Noah preached and was building the ark, that the people had time to repent, but they didn't. So only Noah and his family were saved when the ark, when the rain came and the ark floated away. Daniel, in 11, verse 6 through 11 through 15, there Daniel was alone, and he defiled the king's decree that none should pray, and that he was, his consequence was he was thrown into the lion's den for his breaking that decree. And he was the only one in the kingdom that did that, so he alone was in the lion's den with the lions. Job, through all of his calamity and his so-called friends talking to him and trying to comfort him and console him, it was more like blaming him for what, for all this things that happened to him. He felt that everyone had forsaken him because he was being accused of that he must have sinned in order for these things to come upon him. But he alone felt forsaken and left. They also endured for the Lord. In Noah there, Noah was a righteous man, and he preached, and he built the ark, and for all that, he was saved by the flood, and the earth was covered, and only his family survived, as we read before. And in Daniel, several places in Daniel, Daniel was troubled in his heart because of all the things that were happening around him. The fact that he was in Babylon as a captive, the fact that he and his companions were constantly being watched and put to their faith, put to the test. Daniel was troubled in his heart, but he endured. He remained strong and faithful to God. And Job, according to James 5 through 11, there he says, "My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endure. You have heard of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. Job was patient, and he persevered through all his suffering and all the things that happened to him. And in the end, he was blessed. Twofold. He had 1,000 cattle. He had 2,500 camels. He had 1,500 donkeys. He had 1,000. And he wound up with seven sons and three daughters in the end. So it was all restored back to him because he persevered. And they all humbled themselves to God's will. According to Hebrews 11, 7, by faith, Noah, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, for which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. He built the ark and saved his family, and when a world around him was full of sin and it was corrupt and God wanted to destroy everything because he was sorry that he even made man. And Noah, through his faith, saved his family. And Daniel, in 9:1-19, he made requests and prayer and supplication, fasting and wore sackcloth and ashes through his prayers to God, that he would endure and persevere in his suffering. And Job, in 42, 1 through 6, things were so bad that Job finally replied that he abhorred himself, and he spent time in dust and ashes because he was just downhearted in all that the things that happened to him. Another thing, they were all loved by God. Noah, it said in Genesis there, 6 through 9, that Noah walked with God because of his faith and his and that he did all the things that God had commanded him. God said that he walked with him. Daniel, in his prayers and in his supplications, it says that in Daniel 10:19 there that he was greatly beloved of God, and the ESV says that he was greatly loved of God. And Job 2, verse 3, and 42, 7 through 17. God blessed Job. He blessed him in 3 that he had all those things. But in 42, in the latter days, God blessed him more in that he gave him double what he had. And once again, he had children. And in the New Testament, there's references to righteousness. In Ephesians 6:14, Paul says there to put on. It says, "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness." And in 1 Timothy 6:11-16, Paul urges Timothy there to pursue righteousness. And in 2 Timothy 2:22, again, he urges him to pursue righteousness. It says, "Flee youthful lust, pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the name of the Lord of a pure heart." And then over in 2 Timothy, the 4th chapter, verse 8, he says, "Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. Not me only, but all who have loved his appearing." So we have that to look forward to, is the crown of righteousness. And in Hebrews 7, there again, we find that Noah, as we read before, he was condemned and he became the heir to the righteousness which was according to God, or according to his faith. And there, Matthew says in verse 7 there that we should all, we are the light of the world, and by letting our light shine to our friends, our classmates, our families, that they see. Do they actually see Jesus in us? Do they see the things that we do? And while God, why did God call Noah and Daniel and Job righteous? But we as Christians are to pursue righteousness and to strive to live righteous before him. And even though we live in times where we see persistent unfaithfulness to God all around us, we know that God feels about this, and nothing escapes his notice. It says in the day of Job, or the day of Noah, when he destroyed the world, you have to ask, can things get worse? But we can be faithful to him, and we look forward to an eternal reward in heaven. If these men, by their righteousness, could not save Judah or even their own families, what if they were among us today? And just as their families had to make the choice to obey God for themselves, so must Judah and so must man today. You know, yesterday, my wife received a phone call from one of her brothers, and he kind of got cut off at the beginning, but the last sentence we heard was, "I'm dying." So we called back to see what was going on. He was afraid he was going to hell. That's what it amounted to. So my wife, because he sounded so distraught and so deeply moved that there was nothing he could do to save himself or to save himself from going to hell, she got on the phone with him and she began reading the Bible. Now, he's in Arkansas, so that's something you can't just get in the car and drive over there and talk to him. So she's trying to teach him over the phone, and luckily he had a Bible with him. And they sat down in Acts and began reading, and she was trying to show him that he had hope. There was hope. And just so happened, he lived across the street from where Christians met. So she encouraged him to go there this morning. Why he called her and not the rest of the family who live right around, don't know. Maybe she thought she had an in with God. Don't know. But only God knows that, and hopefully he'll follow up with that. Even though Moses and Elijah appeared with Christ, God said, listen to Christ. The lesson's yours this morning if you're here and need prayers. We invite you, as we stand and sing number 299 in the Blue Book. This is a song that Nathan had chosen.